Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. A great job as always. And if you don't have to go anywhere, don't go now. Just wait tomorrow. If you can put it off for a while, I know a lot of you can't, but if you can, by the time all of this melts tomorrow, it'll seem like, well, what was all that about? Ian McNulty joins us now live from Lyon, France, where it is 5:09 in the evening. Bonsoir, mon ami. Comment ça va?
Hey. Tommy, remember, it's 4 o'clock somewhere, you know, and that's actually true for me right now. You and I are often toasting each other early mornings, and here I am halfway across the world and delighted to be talking with you. And let me just say, before we get into food stuff, my man, I left town on Monday evening, last day before airports were shut down, long planned trip, and I fully expected to get reports of a shoo-shoo, you know, a bunch of sleet, you know, maybe a little dusting of snow like we've seen twice before. To be watching my hometown go through this, contend with this, and experience this from overseas has been absolutely surreal. I feel like somebody has taken an AI app and just changed all these iconic photos of New Orleans to this wintry experience. And I know for every cute photo of puppies and kids throwing snowballs and nuns playing in the snow and such, that it's been a real grind for my fellow New Orleanians. So it's been surreal to watch, and I'm with you in spirit. It's really been something, but hang in there. I know the New Orleans grit is kicking in harder than de-icing fluids right now, and you'll get through it. And I'll be back to join you right there in it, but right now, I'm in the midst of an adventure, my man. I am in France. I am following Team New Orleans, as I've dubbed them. It's people from New Orleans and Company, the city's tourism marketing agency. They brought along chefs, one of whom has not able to make it just yet because of the snowstorms. Another one, Will Avalar of Maui Tortillas, is here. And Tommy, you and I have talked about, a little bit about this before, right? Bocuse d'Or, the culinary competition.
Right, yeah, the World Cup in a way.
Yeah, the culinary World Cup cuisine. Mm-hmm. New Orleans got a taste of it last year. New Orleans got a taste of it last year in June by hosting the semifinals for really the World Cup of Cuisine, where chefs not representing restaurants or themselves, but their countries, give up their jobs, get coaches, train in teams, and compete for this real, just amazingly high-end food is art competition that's held twice a year. The finals are in Lyon, but for the first time ever, North America hosted the semifinals, the qualifiers to get here, and that was in New Orleans. That went through where else? The food city of the United States, New Orleans, gathering international chefs from all over. And so I am here at the finals, closing the loop in a way, but also assessing the future, because New Orleans and Company and the local chefs are here to make the case that New Orleans belongs in the same conversations as gastronomic capitals like Lyon, France, and for people who travel and do business around cuisine, that it should be a destination, that it should be held up to that level. And I got to tell you, it's been fascinating to do a deep dive into this city, into the food culture, and into this event. I'm standing right now by the New Orleans and Company booth at a trade show that's attached to the Bocuse d'Or competition. That's how I thought it was anyway. I thought it was the big competition and a trade show attached to it. Tommy, this food show is blowing my mind. It is 1.5 million square feet of foodie heaven. 4,700 vendors, 210,000 people over the course of 5 days coming through here, and every kind of food you can imagine being sold, prepared, pitched to restaurants is on display here. I'm going to have a post very shortly on NOLA.com with a little postcard, kind of report on that specific angle. And please go to NOLA.com or my Instagram, Ian McNulty NOLA. You can see some of the videos and posts I've been making along the way here.
I know you're having a fantastic adventure, but does a part of you, just personally as a friend, I'll ask you, miss not being here for the big snow event or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Just in a way of, you know, when a hurricane comes through and it doesn't do Katrina level destruction, but we get through it and we, you know, as a community, we're together for it, and you see your restaurants and bars rising to the occasion, neighbors helping each other out. And it's easy for me to say when I'm, you know, it's not 18 degrees in my shotgun house, to be watching it from afar, but, I people very, very close to me have been enduring it and giving me regular reports. And believe me, there's a big part of me that wanted to be back there to experience it. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime experience of our city transformed like that.
You're lucky you got out, actually. I guess you're thinking about that too, right?
Absolutely. I was transferring through Dallas from New Orleans to come overseas, thinking this feels like the last plane out of the last helicopter lifting off of the embassy in a way. It's caused some difficulties over here. One of the chefs who is going to be presenting here in Lyon is still working her way over here a couple of days later. Emily Rosenberg of the Four Seasons Hotel. But Will Avalar is holding it down. A lot of people know Maui Tortillas. Will also consults for Bar Car, Juniors, a couple other restaurants. They're cooking etouffee over here. They're making pralines and representing New Orleans next to brands you know, like Allclad and Braggart, the chef's company. Right next up, I'm looking across the way at a booth for Saudi Arabian coffee. And another for French charcuterie. It's really this kaleidoscope of gourmet brands, experiences, high level culinary pursuits, and New Orleans is here. It's great. It's great to see it. It's people are stopping by the booth. It's a pitch for New Orleans. There's king cake. There's Mardi Gras Indians on part of the banner here. There's a display of the French Quarter on a sunny day, not in snow. And there's a lot of interest. You know, everyone I talk to, once they very kindly switch over to English from French or whatever their native language is here, they say, where are you from? And as usual, I don't lead with the U.S. necessarily. I say, New Orleans. And you see this, aha. They're assuming I was from America. But when you say New Orleans overseas, there is a different kind of recognition. And we start talking food. And there's a lot of connections that can come up just from being in the room. Bringing New Orleans into the room and seeing where it goes in this culinary trade. It's been a really interesting experience so far.
Since we have been, in a lot of ways, stuck in our houses, and I saw a piece yesterday on TV, somebody at Dough Winners, a restaurant you're very familiar with, talked about how people were tired of eating their own food and they wanted to get out and taste something different. Maybe we can vicariously taste some of the things from Lyon that you have eaten on your journey there. I want to hear about some of them because I see the stories you wrote, and some of them are pretty intriguing, some of the stuff you've had.
Oh, yeah. So the first stop, I mean, this is a food city. I mean, France is known for its cuisine nationally, and within France, Lyon is the capital of gastronomy. Much in the same way that when people think about the U.S., New Orleans is the capital of cuisine. It's the capital of hospitality. It's the capital of dining. So there's a lot of kinship there. And a very specific type of restaurant exists here in Lyon. It's called a bouchon. And they are everywhere. I mean, they're right next to each other in the tourist hub. They're out in the neighborhoods. It's a traditional restaurant that serves the cuisine of Lyon that's specific to this region. It's very meaty. It's heavy. It's comforting. It goes great with wine, let me tell you. And I've been to a few of these places now, and it got me thinking about the restaurants that we have in New Orleans that uphold these traditions. And in a way, you can say, well, you know, you can go in and not even read the menu and know you're going to get shrimp remoulade and trout veneer at this place. You know you're going to get gumbo and fried chicken at a place that's like this. Same way with these restaurants here in Lyon. And it got me thinking about the value of having these traditions, not just on the shelf for something that people talk about from the past, but used in the daily life of a city and a community. And what that does, it roots you to a place. And when for visitors, it gives you a really authentic experience of that place. So, you know, here I am overseas digging into food that I can't pronounce correctly, some dishes that I've never had before. And I'm thinking about New Orleans still. You know, I'm drawing those parallels in my mind because sometimes that's what travel does for you. You know, you go and experience a different place and you start to think about how it relates to the place you know best and care about the most back home. And it's been interesting. And it's also been, Tommy, really delicious. There is a food hall here that is, it's an indoor food hall. Think of the French market if it was all indoors. And instead of a million types of hot sauce and voodoo dolls and I got bourbon-faced T-shirts, you have real live butcher shops that are, you know, working with cuts of meat right there in front of you. You have not just seafood stands, but seafood stands that double as seafood restaurants where they'll open up oysters or sea urchin or prawns, serve them on a platter right over the bins of the rest of the shellfish, the glass of wine balanced on the edge of a little tray. One booth after another, I think about 60 or so different vendors, and kaleidoscopic in its gourmet possibilities. You go in, you wander through, and that was actually my first stop because I just wanted to wrap all these different food experiences around me. I couldn't decide on one restaurant in particular in which to start. That would be my first taste in the city we own. So going to that food hall was fantastic. And again, kind of made me wish that we had some kind of a similar experience in New Orleans that was both engaging for tourists and legit for locals like that, where like a true taste of this city and its food culture right there and under one roof. It was enlightening, fascinating, and I'm sure I'm going to be back. Fantastic oysters at one end of the place and andouillettes that sat at a counter of a little walk-up restaurant at the other end of the market. And let me tell you, if andouillette sounds like andouille, it is not. It is very different, Tommy. We know andouille from our gumbos, smoky pork sausage. Have you ever had andouillette?
I have not. I know they were a dance group. Like... I've seen them dance at Radio City Music. No, but tell me what it is.
Oh, the andouillettes has to be the name of a Mardi Gras dance group.
It
Tommy.
Does.
I think you just named one. It really has to be one. I want to see them in Crew Muses some year. But andouillette is a sausage that is basically a sausage casing filled with other sausage casings. It is an intestine stuffed with intestines. And I knew this going in. Okay. I didn't fall for it. I'd done my research. I actually had andouillette once before. But I decided I'm going to give it a go. It's a local specialty. It doesn't sound that appetizing, but you've got a job to do, McNulty. You're a professional. Get in there and try it again. And I guess it's that Lyon experience. French hand at the stove, it was delicious. And very gratifyingly, Tommy, the people at the counter, they didn't blink when I ordered it. We almost, oh, here's your andouillette. When I finished it, pushed the finished plate away, the French people sitting next to me, looked at me and said, we're really impressed. Americans usually don't eat that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yes! Score one for the visiting team. It's been a great experience so far.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Tim, I don't know if we can do a traffic or not. Tell me. Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a look at traffic because somebody texted in here. We'll be back with Ian McNulty, nice enough to call in and do his segment from Lyon, France, where it is in the afternoon, and he's interrupting his trip to do this. But we appreciate it, especially after what we've been through with the snow event, so we can vicariously tour and eat in Lyon, France, through Ian McNulty. More, we come back. Somebody texted in and got in line for the CCC at 6:18 a.m. Berman Highway, General de Gaulle. It's taken me 3 hours to get almost to Shirley Drive, still not on the bridge. It is a nightmare. Somebody else wants to know about the elevated West Bank Expressway. Let's take a Lanyap look at traffic now with Joe Cardosi on WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe Cardosi. Expect delays across the roadways if you are out there. The Bonnie Carey Spillway is closed. Airline Highway is still open, and that's your way to go if you're headed to or from Laplace, but it's extremely slow going. One lane is open in both directions on the Crescent City connection. The on and off ramps are at General de Gaulle for the West Bank, Chapultepec on the East Bank. The Causeway Bridge has one lane open headed to the North Shore. Southbound has both lanes open, but it's slow going, so please exercise caution. The Twin Spans and High Rise remain closed. The Huey P is open between Jefferson Highway and Seven Oaks Boulevard, but it's stop and go. I-10 east and westbound closed to traffic between Metairie and Kenner, as is the Pontchartrain Expressway. Again, Airline Highway is open between Metairie and Kenner, but caution is advised. If you have to get across the river, the Veterans Memorial Bridge in Gramercy is still open. If you need to cross the lake, the Chef Mentor Highway to Highway 11 is open. Highway 51 is also available between Laplace and Ponchatoula. With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardo.
Joe, paint ain't paint. I know it's not grammatically correct, but it's true. And the people at Helm Paint and Decorating will show you what they're talking about. Helm Paint and Decorating sells the best paint on the planet, Benjamin Moore paint. All paint is not the same. Benjamin Moore, Helm Paint rather than Decorating, knows that Benjamin Moore is going to give you better hide, better coverage, quicker dry times, and more square footage out of the can. They've been around over 50 years, has Helm Paint and Decorating, an iconic family-owned and family-operated. You'll see a Helm in the store probably when you go into one of the stores. Professional painters know that paint ain't paint, too. That's why they've been getting Benjamin Moore paint from Helm Paint and Decorating for over half a century. And if you're a grandma or a grandpa or a mom or a dad, you got to pass that down to your kids if they do some painting. Don't default to the big box store. The New Orleans tradition is Helm Paint and Decorating and Benjamin Moore Paint. Location, they even have a special French Quarter selection of colors. Locations all over, free fast delivery, and a knowledgeable family with expert advice. That's colors that have been approved by the Vieux Carré Commission, by the way. Helm Paint and Decorating is where quality, service, and family all come together. You can stop by, let them steer you to the right Benjamin Moore paint for every budget. Helm Paint and Decorating. Paint ain't paint, and Helm Paint Decorating ain't no big out-of-town box store. Go to HelmPaint.com. They will definitely steer you right.
Helm Paint and Supply.
9:30 now. If you do not have to get on the highway, if you do not absolutely have to cross the river, don't do it until everything clears out and melts, and later on this afternoon or tomorrow even. I know not everybody can wait, but if you can, do yourself a favor, do everybody else a favor, don't even try it. Elevated West Bank Expressway closed, says this text. All the ground level traffic is at a crawl. Another text comes in about the traverse of the Crescent City connection, 2.5 hours from Algiers Point, and now I'm getting to the beginning of the bridge by the DOTD office. And what this is reminiscent of to me is when I got stuck on St. Charles Avenue trying to get back from the East Bank to the West Bank with the snowfall of 1989, I think it was, and it took like 8 hours. It was crazy. So unless you have to go, don't do it. We're talking to Ian McNulty, our friend who talks eating and drinking for NOLA.com and a New Orleans Advocate. He's on a sojourn, I guess, maybe would that be the word, to Lyon, France. And I want to get at some of these dishes that you ate. And you were talking about andouillettes before. I see this dish here with tradition. And if y'all can go to NOLA.com and find Ian's story, you'll be able to see the pictures as he talks about them. Traditional regional sausage, but the way it's presented is just something. Tell me about that dish.
Well, that's another dish from the Bouchon tradition. So this is, this is the land of charcuterie, and Tommy, again, parallels everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe no coincidence. We have French roots in Louisiana, and you know, when you travel to the taproot of it, sometimes mm-hmm. you appreciate what you have back home in a different light. You know, that dish was sausage, potatoes, and a sauce on a menu that is just very meaty. The adage that we use every bit of the pig except the oink. I don't know how that exactly translates in French, but I've tasted how it translates in French, and it's a very literal, iteration of the metaphor here. One restaurant that I went into, sit down, the menu comes, thinking about a glass of wine before anything, a little ramekin lands, and what's in there? Oh, it's crackling. It is crackling. I love this place. And it made me think, you know, I think people from Lyon would really like Cajun country. I think there's a really good connection that can be made there. So, yeah, the land of charcuterie for sure. A lot of these hearty, meaty dishes. Another specialty is the quenelle. And that's made in a lot of different ways. But the traditional one is with fish, you know, river fish. This mm-hmm. is the city that's on two rivers, actually three rivers, the Rhone, the Saône, and the Beaujolais, because they drink a ton of Beaujolais here. Mm-hmm. They just drink a lot of wine here, Tommy. They live up to the reputation. But yeah, they take pike from the river, they turn it into an emulsion with cream and eggs and butter, and form it into this, I mean, really, it almost looks like a giant omelet. And it's soft, it's delicate, but hearty at the same time. It is comfort food. Another interesting thing I learned here, this whole food tradition that is so celebrated and upheld in this city, it comes through the women of Lyon. They call them the Mère Lyonnaise, the mothers of Lyon. Even the most highly decorated restaurants of generations past, it was women chefs who took the traditions of the home kitchen and cooking for workmen and brought it to culinary glory and helped put this city on the map as a culinary destination known across the world. And what I love to see is the way that that's not just acknowledged, but celebrated all over the city. When I say this is a food town, I don't just mean like they, you know, talk about it or brag on it or market themselves on it. They live it. It's really a celebrated part of the culture. Imagine, you know, going around a city where you see billboards and murals just giving glory to the, you know, the mothers of Lyon, to the great female chefs of the past. It's a place where chefs and culinary personalities are really held up as these civic heroes for what they've done for Lyon, for France. It's such a pride and a cultural value put on it. If I sound fired up, I am. I mean, as somebody who you know, food is life. You come to a city like this where that's the entire drumbeat of the civic discourse. You know, and something I think we do appreciate in Louisiana and New Orleans. But when you come to another place and you experience it in a different language with a different lens, it gets me more fired up to come back and start living and advocating for our culinary scene again.
Now, let me get back to this quenelle. Describe for me what that tastes like, because it looks like bread, but it's not. It's an, I guess, browned egg on the outside. When you say emulsified pike, they're mixing in the fish and almost liquefying it with the egg and the cheese.
Yeah.
Tell me, or any cheese or not? Tell me what they're doing.
No cheese in there. Yeah, but emulsified, right? So you're taking that fish, breaking it down. They did a version of this with shrimp at Brennan's restaurant a couple years ago, believe it or not. And it's a time-honored French technique. But if that sounds fancy, you know, you're emulsifying the fish, you're folding in the flour and the eggs and the butter and the cream. Really, in practice, it's a very hearty dish. Like these are working man type of restaurants. Those are the roots of them anyway. You know, these are elbows on the table, you know, slinging another bottle of Beaujolais kind of places. But it just shows you, you know, the care and technique that even goes into everyday food when people really care about it.
What does it taste like?
Something I think New Orleans people would recognize.
What would it taste like?
It's gentle. It's it has the texture of an exquisitely made omelet.
Okay.
Think of that. Like, it's very soft on the palate. It's not overwhelmingly fishy. In fact, like, am I eating fish? is that really in there? But it's creamy. It's rich. It's got a butter sauce over it. It's piping hot. It's lovely.
And tell me about,
should not be everyday food.
The escargot at La Bistro, because I don't know with the picture you posted, what's the serving dish and what do you eat? And I don't understand what I'm looking at here.
It
looks
like
for people
casserole.
That don't have the picture open in front of them, let me say, it looks like a cupcake tray that has green hoghead cheese in it. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I can see that, especially if you're squinting a little bit, right?
Maybe
if you're just squinting a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, escargot, it's the snails, right? And they're everywhere here. You see them in the marketplaces, piles of them, Tommy. Pre-packed with that parsley garlic butter. Just that a little plug of that parsley garlic butter in the opening of the snail shell. And as served, you know, that butter just gets going and it coats the snail. In this case, the picture you're describing, served out of the shell and in this very traditional ceramic dish with these dimples in it, these little, a half dozen of these little dimples that hold not just the snail, but the garlic butter too. And you get your little tiny little cocktail fork in there and you dredge them out. And then crucially, you take the crusty bread that's on the table and you make sure you get every drop of that garlic butter out.
Tell me about the what it's served in. What is that? That's the dish or not? The yellow part of that?
Yeah, that's the dish. Don't eat that part, Tommy.
Well, but that's on top of a great dish too, right? That's what surprised me. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I think it's just a plate underneath the dish. You know, again, these things are coming out piping hot.
Well, I don't know. The egg looked like bread. I thought this could have been something you eat too. I didn't know.
Sure.
Well,
you know, on this trip, if when in doubt, try it. You know, give it a nibble. We'll see.
That sausage dish that you mentioned earlier, served on a bed of mashed potatoes, looks like we don't eat a lot of sausage and mashed potatoes here, do we?
Yeah, it sounds very German, doesn't it? But
yeah.
It's one of those cross cultural cravings, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Again, party wintertime food here in an area that's actually quite close to the Alps. The Rhone wine region is on the doorstep of Lyon. The Alps just past that. So a lot of interplay between what you consider the alpine, cold weather, wintry cooking. I know, I'm saying triggering words right now. New Orleans, aren't I? I'm sorry.
But
I'm
another dish,
who I'm talking to.
Before we run out of time, and I appreciate you joining us from Lyon, France. That's why Ian sounds different. But you got what looks like a chicken leg quarter you would get at Rouse's, but served in a very elegant manner. Tell me about that.
Yes, the rich cream sauce and then those lovely little nuggets you see next to it, morel mushrooms. Just gorgeous. But, you know, Tommy, interesting thing here. I'm just going to kind of leave it on this. There's a lot more to come on this trip, by the way. So, you know, keep up with me on NOLA.com, mm-hmm. on my Instagram, at Ian McKelton NOLA. I'm at this giant food show, right? There's charcuterie everywhere. There's razor clams. There's all manner of exotica. It's just this bizarre worldwide food. And one display stops me cold. It's this little revolving tray in glass with all these little fried snacks that are going around. Fried Gouda, fried this, fried that. And then something that says Cajun Bites. So I inquire to the representative at the counter, Cajun Bites? I'm from Louisiana. Do you know about Cajun culture? Do you know what this is? And the man in the French accent says, oh, yes, we make these here in Europe for Popeyes.
Really?
Popeye's fried chicken. Yes. It's some dish of, you know, fried cheese with Cajun seasoning, because Cajun, as we know, is often used as a, not as a cultural identity, but as a flavor profile, meaning kind of salty and kind of spicy. It's usually the context it's taken outside of Louisiana. But they make it for Popeye's here in Europe.
Real quick before we go, the giant oyster patty that you got the picture of with sweetbreads, what did that taste like? Tell me what that is. And there's a bubbling kind of creamy sauce. Was that served hot or is that infused with air or something? Tell me what I'm looking at and what it tastes like.
You're looking at oyster patty is a great way to say it, man. Vol au vent. You know, it's the oyster patty shells you always get in the holidays. And usually we fill them with oyster cream. That's how Patton serves them at Jazz Fest. But in this case, filled with sweetbreads, you know, the glands fried up and with that bubbly, frothy sauce around there. Tommy, it's butter. This whole country, this city anyway, is bound together by butter, I swear to God.
So what's to come?
Much more to come. You're going to get some scenes from this this giant food show that I'm at. So fascinating. I'm going to take you back behind the scenes at the culinary competition to see these mind-blowing creations that chefs from around the world are making. Tommy, it's a wild scene. Just on the other side of the wall where I'm standing, there's a 2,000-person arena packed with people who are cheering on their national teams, banging on drums, blaring horns, cheering and yelling and waving. I mean, this is really the Olympics of cuisine, of food. And New Orleans, Team USA is in that number, and Team New Orleans is in that number too, because they're here representing the city and telling people, hey, look, if you are love global cuisine, if you like cuisine at this level, New Orleans is a place that should be on your list. And it's been interesting to see how that message resonates for this intensely passionate foodie crew here at Focuse d'Or in Lyon.
Thank you for taking the time with us. Ian McNulty, all the way from Lyon, France. Safe travels. We'll talk to you again next week. 9:42, 18 till 10. Traffic's a mess. Let's look at it now on WWL. It is 9:47. Traffic is a mess. I told a story about years ago getting stuck on one side of the bridge after a snow event during the day, and taking 8 hours to get from the East Bank to the West Bank, and that's kind of playing out today as people start to get on the roads. The Crescent City Connection, one lane open. Elevated West Bank Expressway closed. UEP Long, one bridge. I'm getting nightmare stories about hours and hours to move little bitty bits at a time. That's what I went through. I know how miserable it is. So unless you have to get out and drive, especially across the rivers, don't do it. Don't do it. You're just going to sit in traffic and get frustrated and tie it up for the people that do have to travel. With that, let me get to JR now to get some weekend winners. How you doing, JR?
Doing outstanding. Happy Football Friday to you and everyone in ice-cold 11 inches of snow, New Orleans.
Crazy, isn't it? More snow than Green Bay, I think, has had since the beginning of the year. Quick note here, Adam Schefter tweeting that the Raiders have hired Pete Carroll, and I got to tell you, as a Saints fan, I wouldn't be very happy if they hired Pete Carroll, so the Raiders can have him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm real surprised at that hire. I mean, A, Pete is obviously getting up in age, and B, I thought he had a nice, cozy job with taking care of some of the operations up there in the Northwest. And, you know, there was, listen, I love Pete Carroll. He's one of my favorite coaches of all time. I think he's been extremely underrated. That's one of the reasons why it took him a second and third ditch to get a shot in the NFL. I thought he did a great job with building up the Jets program. I think that Pete overall is just one of the more undervalued guys in the coaching arena. And in a lot of his, let's face it, it's not like McVay or Belichick or Parcells, where everybody that was under Carroll went on to be great too. It was just Carroll's, his whole mindset and the way he ran that team. It was, I don't think anybody else could have had the success in Seattle that he did over that 15-year plus span that he did.
And what's funny is now Tom Brady's involved with the Raiders. I know we got to get to other stuff, but, you know, and Tom Brady's got another Super Bowl ring partly because of Pete Carroll, but we don't need to revisit all of that stuff. Let's talk about the playoffs. 3 games left in the NFL, JR, so I guess damn the information, just bet your gut, put it all on a line, right? No, that's not what you
do. Yeah, just take everything you got in your account, assume your hunch is right, and then go out there and put it all on the line. No, people, you got to be smart. Okay, you got to know how to do this the right way, and the right way is not only having an expert in your corner, but, you know, look, we're going to help you every aspect of the way, not just telling you which games you should be playing, but also the percentage of your bankroll that you should be putting into play on each one of these games. I can't tell you the stories. I mean, I'm going to have to start calling the station so you can hear them. Countless stories, especially in the Louisiana area, folks, starting off with very small bankrolls. We're talking $2,500 or $5,000. And making 25 grand their first 5 weeks with us. I mean, you want to see real success and you want to have a structure to what you do? It starts right here, okay? I'm going to give you the winner of the Chiefs-Bills game absolutely free. The big AFC Championship game, it is yours. It is absolutely free. All you got to do is text the word WIN, that's W-I-N, to the number 545454. We're going to hit you right back and we're going to give you the winner of the Bills-Chiefs game for free. No, you know, no gimmicks, guys. I'm not here to pull the wool over your eyes. It's simple. You text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454, and in return, you'll get back a text right away with the winner of that Chiefs-Bills game. So do not try to figure this one out on your own. I'm telling you, I've got it locked up. Get in and get in early. There's going to be a lot of movement in the point spread, so you want to get this one in before we get to game day. So text WIN right now to 545454 and get the winner of the Chiefs-Bills game on the house.
Let me say this, too, about that in terms of value and getting the pick in. I waited on the free pick that you gave us on the air last week, and I lost a little bit of value. It still hit. I had it at 51.5. I think you told me to take it at 50, the total on a game, and I have a sizable winning ticket in my wallet that I'm waiting for the weather to clear and the traffic to clear to go cash the ticket. But it's important that you don't wait, because then that goes to money movement and lines and everything else, and that's a lot of what you do. JR, talk about that, if you would, please.
Well, one of the things that I tell people is when they get in with us that you're getting in with probably the biggest network in the country. You're going to notice that when we especially move on a college basketball game, you're going to see the line move. Not a little bit, not a half a point or a point, sometimes 2-3 points from the moment we start betting it to the time we actually get to the tip-off. And throughout the NFL, throughout college football, you see this more in college sports than you do in professional, just because there's less money being handled on the game and it's easier to move the point spread. So when I give you a game this early and it's something that we're going to use, you definitely want to get it in advance, because you're going to lock in a half a point to a point and a half differential from where it's actually going to be by the time you get to tip-off. So remember, a lot of the action comes in about 45 minutes prior to a game starting, whether it's basketball, whether it's football. That's where you see a lot of the line change happen. I mean, of course, the books will change it early in the week based on some of the big money that comes in when they put out the lines, and that is, quote-unquote, in a lot of cases, sharp money or institutional money. But then you got the public money that comes in. And some of that public money is hiding or disguising a lot of the big, big money that comes in about an hour before the game starts. So if you got something that you want to do and you think it's going to be a public side, you want to get that in early, before the line changes and before the public money starts dumping in on the game. That's value.
Tell me about a free pick for you. You got a pick on the Air Force, an on-air pick?
I do. And you know, I'm going to give that out in a second. But, guys, I want to stress to you how important it really is to manage your bankroll properly. I mean, people don't take that really as serious as they should. They hear me talk about it, but I just don't think it sinks in with everybody. It is so important to protect yourself, not just when you're winning and progressing and moving more, but on the way down. This is where most people have a problem. They start chasing. And in our case, we've got structured ways to help you make the right decision. So when you lose a couple of games, you're cutting 25%. You lose a third game, you're cutting 50%. And when you're winning, you're using a progression that is adding 20, 30, 50% to your bets, and you're using house money to turn that $5,000 into $25,000. So, all right, before we run out of time, let's get into a free pick. Guys, make sure you text the word WIN to 545454, and I'm going to give you the AFC Championship winner for free via text. You text WIN to 545454. But I'm going to get into the NFC Championship game. You've got the Washington Commanders, who are playing with house money at this point, against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are obviously not just expected to win, but, you know, expected to, you know, not only be in the place where they are now, but also to go on to the big game. So here's what I'm going to say. I think it's going to be a shootout, like I said last week with the Buffalo game against the Ravens. Although we did get a weather report after I got done with your interview saying that it was going to be extraordinarily windy, so it did make me question that over last week, but it obviously came in. This one, guys, it's going to go way over. It's not going to be close to the number. The number right now is 47, 47.5. You want to lock that in now. It's going to go up to 48.5, even 49 by the time we get to actual kickoff on Sunday. So this is one of those ones you want to lock in now. Go over in the Eagles-Commanders game. We are now, I believe, 16-6 on air. Is that correct?
Yep. Awesome.
So, you know, pile it up, guys. You definitely want to do the right thing. Get it in early. Go over in that Commanders-Eagles game. But look, let's lock in a huge winner in the AFC Championship game. Let me give you this winner for free. All you got to do is text the word WIN. That's W-I-N to the number 545454. We'll be happy to give it to you for free via text message. And if you can't make the text, then just call 888-9-WIN-NOW. That's 888-994-6669. But to make it easy, I'd like to just send you the text. You text the word WIN to 545454, and you get the winner of the AFC Championship game for free.
And JR handles a lot more than just the NFL, so check into what he does. And don't just waste your money, because it's a lot more fun when you win. Thank you, JR.
Pleasure. Go out there and make some money, guys.
All right, back in a flash, WWL.